Thank you, everyone, for coming to this. The objective of this talk is to give a few pointers and ideas on how you can maximize performance when using gRPC, and specifically the Go implementation of gRPC. So a lot of people are already familiar with gRPC, but I will just make a few baseline introductions to reintroduce and re-explain what it is. So gRPC is an RPC protocol made by Google that takes a schema-first approach. So you first need to define your service specification in a protobuf file. You will list all of the endpoints that exist on your service, all the message type that they take in input and that they output. From this specification, you can then run the protocol buffer compiler to generate client and server code in any language that you want. It means that with gRPC, it's very easy to have cross-language support, to have one client written in one language talking to a server written in another language without having to do much work. gRPC is based on top of HTTP2, and it uses binary encoding for the payload. It supports either unary RPC or streams. So let's have a look at how it would work to do a unary request. I define in a protofile my service that has a single endpoint, createUser. It takes a specific message type in input, createUserRequest, and returns a specific message type in output. From this protobuf specification, I will be able to invoke the protocol buffer compiler to generate associated Go code. And so it will generate Go struct with all of the fields that I've defined in the protobuf definition. With this generated code, it's very easy to implement the server itself. I just need to create a type that has a method, createUser, that has a signature where it takes my message type in input and that returns the message type in output. The implementation here is very dumb. It's just echoing back all of the field of the request in the response. And with this implementation, I can have a quick benchmark to see how efficient that is. To do that, I use the standard Go benchmark tooling, and I create a benchmark function. First, I will set up the server. I will bind to a localhost port. I will create a new gRPC server, attach my implementation that I've shown previously to it, and ask it to serve requests. On the second hand, I will create the client. I attach to a specific localhost port, and I create a client object from it. With this client object, I can then benchmark the act of calling a client.createUser on the client object. And while this looks like just a regular function call, it is actually doing a remote procedure call and doing all of the following steps. It will first marshal the request object to transform it to a byte array that is the wire representation of it, send that through the network connection. The server will receive it until it's to get back again the request object, execute our handler implementation, which was the very basic thing that I showed earlier. Then it will get a response object that it could then marshal to a wire representation, send that through the network, the client will receive it, and finally will unmarshal it to get a response object that can be returned from the function. And we can run the benchmark to have a rough idea of what is the performance of our basic implementation. And it takes roughly 36 microseconds to do all of these steps. And so the overhead of a gRPC, basic unary RPC, seems to be around 36 microseconds because I did nothing interesting in my handler. And it's actually, so it's not that slow, that's good, but it's actually possible to reduce this time. And if we look back at all of the steps that were taken in our benchmark, a lot of them are about marshalling and unmarshalling objects to their wire representation. By default, what the gRPC library does is that it uses reflection. It iterates over all of the public fields of the Go struct, and it will marshal them one by one. And while this works, reflection isn't the fastest thing in the world. So it is possible to change the codec that is used to marshal and unmarshal objects, to use a different implementation that may be faster. To do that, gRPC Go as a library exposes a codec interface that has two methods, Marshall and Unmarshall. And it is possible to pass a user-defined codec implementation to do this transformation. And it's not that hard, and it's possible to make it faster. And to do that, I will introduce the VT Protobuf plugin that will help at doing a faster marshalling and unmarshalling. This is an open source project, and it's a protocol buffer compiler plugin, so it takes your proto definition, and it will generate additional Go code. Using it is fairly straightforward when on your compiling setup where you invoke the protocol buffer, specifically the Go plugin and the gRPC plugin, we just add one more to use the VT Protobuf codec, the VT Protobuf plugin. And when we generate the Go code from our proto file, it will generate an additional file called myservice_vtproto.pb.go. This file will contain additional method on top of our Go struct that represents our protobuf object, and this method can be used to implement a custom codec that is faster. So we want to implement a codec that has a Marshall method and an unmarshall method, and we will create such type. And we will delegate the actual marshalling and unmarshalling to a specific function, to a specific method of our protobuf Go types, specifically Marshall VT and unmarshall VT. These two methods are generated by the VT Protobuf plugin. And they contain a hand-rolled implementation of the actual marshalling and unmarshalling that do not rely on reflection. So it means that we don't have to use reflection and that this implementation is way more friendly to the inliner and to the compiler. Once we've defined this type that implements the codec interface, we can tell the gRPC library to actually use it. This can be done at init time here with encoding.registerCodec, or it can also be done when you create a gRPC server object or a client object. And with this change, we can run again our benchmark. And while it used to take 33 microseconds to actually do the whole RPC sequence, it now takes around 33 microseconds. To ensure that we have a real difference that is, and it's not just noises in the measurement, we can run the benchmark several times with the dash count 10 option and save the output in a file. And then we can ask benchstat to compare the results that we got. And benchstat will do statistical analysis on those results to confirm or deny that there is indeed a difference in our two implementations. And indeed, specifically, it confirms that there is a statistically significant difference and that with the VT Protobuf codec, we use 12% less CPU time when actually performing our benchmark. So with very little code here, we just had to enable the use of one plugin and make a simple codec implementation, we managed to reduce a bit the overhead of the gRPC ecosystem. And there was no need to change our handler implementation. So this was for unary requests. Now let's have a look at gRPC streams, and specifically gRPC streams that send a large amount of data. In my service definition, I have two RPCs, put, where we will send a stream from the client to the server, and get, where we send a stream from the server to the client. In gRPC, a stream is just a sequence of protobuf messages. And specifically here, what we consider to be a message in our stream is just a chunk that has a single field, which is a byte slice. From this definition, we can write a basic implementation of put. On put, we just iterate over the stream and call stream.receive on it up until the stream gets closed. And on get, we generate a random byte slice and we send that to the stream. So we will work with chunks of 16 kilobytes and for a total stream size of 16 megabytes. And so we can have a look at how fast that basic implementation of gRPC streams would be. This time, I will not use the Go benchmark setup. I will rather separate the client and the server and look at system metrics coming from node exporter as well as go runtime metrics. So when we run our gRPC server implementation and we stress it with gets, our test setup has two virtual machines, one for the client, one for the server. Each of them have two virtual CPUs, and they share a 5 gigabit per second network link. So when stressing the gRPC server with gets, we can see that we manage to saturate this 5 gigabit per second network link, and that to do that, we consume roughly 1.3 CPU core. So that's good. Our basic naive gRPC implementation can saturate a kind of high perform, a kind of high speed network link, but it costs some CPU. And if we compare with another project, for example, KD, which is a popular HTTP2 file server written in Go, we can see that KD is able to saturate the same network link, but for only 0.2 CPU core. So there is a large discrepancy between what our gRPC implementation does and what KD, which is optimized, does. And so even though gRPC is a bit of a more involved protocol than HTTP2, it would still be nice if we were able to reduce the CPU that we consume to do so. And the problem is even worse when we try the put stream. When we put data to the server, so when the server receives data, it needs to consume 1.6 CPU core to actually saturate this network link. So the question is, where is the CPU consumed? What is our CPU doing on this workload to consume that much power? And the good thing about Go is that answering this question is fairly straightforward. You can just run a CPU profile on your rolling gRPC server to get an answer. And if you do that, you get this kind of frame graph. There is one big tower in the middle, which is actually doing a syscall to read data. So while it can be optimized, I will not have a look at that today. This is kernel CPU time. But I will rather have a look at other towers, and specifically this one. They all are related to garbage collection or memory allocation. And indeed, if we look at Go runtime metrics, you can see that our gRPC server, while under load, allocates at a rate of 11 gigabit per second of data. When we are serving 5 gigabit per second of throughput, we are actually internally allocated 11 gigabit of second per of data. And due to this high allocation rate, we need to run GC very often. During our stress test, the GC was running between 400 times and 500 times per second. This is also metrics coming from the Go runtime. And so while the Go GC is kind of efficient and fast, if you run it several hundred times per second, when it starts to add up and to be a significant amount of CPU time. So now the question is, where does this memory allocation come from, and can we reduce it? Once again, in Go, it's fairly straightforward to have an answer on where does it come from. We can just run a memory profile on our running gRPC server and see where it comes from. And specifically, it seems to come from a single function inside the gRPC library called gRPC.receive. gRPC.receive has two parts, receive and decompress, that reads data from the network connection and put it in a byte buffer. So it reads one protobuf messages, allocates on the heap, and puts the wire representation on that place. And then on the second part, it unmarshals. So it tries to turn this wire representation to a Go struct. So specifically, when for the receive and decompress part, by default, every time a protobuf message is received by the gRPC library, it heap allocates a byte slice and it writes that wire format to it. And so for every message that is being received by the gRPC library, we need to heap allocate. It would be nice if there was a way to tell the gRPC library to actually not heap allocate for every new message that is being received, but actually try to reuse data internally, to reuse memory. And it's actually something that is possible. You can configure the gRPC Go library to do so. If you're using gRPC Go with a version that is lower than 1.66, there is an experimental option that can be used when creating a server or a client. If you use experimental.receiveBufferPool, you will tell the gRPC library to try to use a memory buffer pool internally when receiving new messages. If you're using a recent enough version of gRPC Go, which I would strongly advise, then you actually don't have to do anything, and it is now the new behavior by default. With this memory pool, we don't have to heap allocate for every new message that is being received by the gRPC library. This memory can be reused across different messages. And so if we were to run again our benchmark setup, you can see that our allocation rate is lower. We only allocate at around 5 gigabit per second compared to the 11 gigabit per second that we had previously. And as a result, we consume less CPU time when serving the same amount of traffic. So this was one half of the answer. The other half, we would need to look at how to reduce memory allocation when we unmarshal. In our basic implementation, what we did was calling stream.receive in a loop up until the gRPC stream gets closed. And what stream.receive does is that it will return a new heap allocated chunk that has a single data field that is a byte slice and that will contain what we send through the network. Every time we call stream.receive, we heap allocate a chunk, and we also need to heap allocate when we unmarshal, we need to heap allocate the data, the slice that contains the data, the relevant payload, we need to heap allocate it so that we can link it to the data field. And it is possible to make a different implementation of put that do not have this issue. To do that, we will stop using the gRPC API stream.receive, and we'll rather use the API stream.receive message. The big difference is that stream.receive message takes a chunk as argument and will unmarshal to this thing. If we are able to pass a chunk that has a data field that is a byte slice of length zero, but with free capacity, then we can unmarshal to this free capacity without having to do heap allocation. And to do that, we will pool our chunk messages by using some VT protobuf helpers. When we get a chunk from the VT protobuf pool, there are two options. Either the pool was empty and we heap allocate a new chunk, the data field is the nil slice, length equals zero and capacity equals zero. So when we unmarshal, we need to create a new slice and attach it to the data field, which is exactly what was happening before. Or if we get lucky, when we get a chunk from the pool, it is possible that the data field is a slice of length zero, but with some extra free capacity that was previously allocated. And if it is the case, when we unmarshal to this slice, we can just write directly to the free capacity without having to ask the runtime to do a new heap allocation. And so with this thing, we don't have to make a new heap allocation for every message that we receive on the stream. And so by running again our benchmark, we can see that with this change, we have reduced dramatically the allocation of our gRPC server. We now only allocate around 20 to 30 megabit per second of data, while we used to allocate several gigabit per second. Due to this change, the GC rate is way more appropriate. It only runs around once per second. And so with that, the CPU consumed when saturating the network is actually around 0.7 CPU core. It used to be at 1.6. So with this simple change, we more than reduced and divided by two the amount of CPU that is spent on the gRPC internals. We can now have a look at the GET workload that suffers from roughly the same issue. On the GET workload, so when there is a stream from the server to the client, it allocates a lot of the memory. It allocates around 5 gigabit per second when we serve 5 gigabit per second. And thus, we run GC a lot, it consumes a lot of CPU, and it's the same issue as previously. But this time, the memory allocation comes from a different place. All of the memory allocation comes when calling the marshalling to transform our Go struct to their wire representation and to send them through the network. The reason for that can be found in the API that the gRPC library uses for the codec. Specifically, Marshall takes a Go struct and returns a byte slice. As you may have seen in the talk previously, returning a byte slice means that you need to hyperallocate it. There is no way for the caller and the callee of this API to cooperate to prevent memory allocation. So every time we need to marshal an object through this interface, we need to hyperallocate as much memory as its wire representation is. Thankfully, gRPC recently introduced a codec V2 interface. It's kind of the same thing as a codec interface. There is still a marshal and an unmarshaled method. But this time, rather than using a standard byte slice, it uses a specific gRPC internal type called a mem.bufferSlice. And what a mem.bufferSlice is that it's basically a reference-counted byte slice that the gRPC library can reuse and pull internally so that it does not have to hyperallocate it new stuff every time. And so we can make a codec that implements this codec V2 interface, once again with the help of the VT protobuf helpers. And so to implement marshalling, we will first ask what would be the size of the wire representation of this object. We will then get a piece of memory from an internal gRPC memory buffer pool that can hold this wire representation. Then we can just marshal to this slice and return it as wrapped in a mem.bufferSlice type. And this means that the gRPC library can now send this piece of slice of memory that contains the representation of our Go struct, and when it is done, it can just decrement a reference count, and if it reaches zero, put it back into the pool so that it can be reused later. So with this change, we don't have to make a heap allocation every time we call marshal. And so it means that we can run our benchmark again, and we can see that once again, our allocation rate has been dramatically reduced. We only allocate a few dozens of megabytes per second when serving this gigabit per second load. Thus, the GC rate is way lower, and thus we consume less CPU. So as a small summary, we've seen that it's possible to make a few changes to how you use the gRPC library in Go to reduce CPU consumption. For unary requests, using a VT protobuf codec helps you to remove the default implementation that is based on reflection. And by doing so, you can save around 10% of CPU time. For streams, on egress streams, so stream moving out of the gRPC implementation, you can reduce memory allocation and thus CPU consumption by a significant factor by just using a recent gRPC version and having a codec V2 implementation that do not hyperallocate for every call. For ingress stream, you can also reduce memory allocation and thus CPU usage by using either a recent gRPC version or enabling an experimental option on old ones. And if you want to go further, you can change the handler implementation to pull the message that you receive from the stream. Apart from this very last point, all of the everything that I explained previously do not require you to change the actual gRPC implementation of your handler. You just need to change a few lines of code on your compiling setup, on when you would, how you generate Go code from protofile, and have one good codec implementation. So with very little amount of work and code, you can get a significant amount of CPU reduction. Thank you for listening. We have a few minutes, I think, for questions. Guys.
I have space for one very short question.